Good morning, Delaware. Beautiful, beautiful spring morning. Chilly, but sunny. It's going to be a great weekend. Sunny, a little warmer. Going to be a great weekend. How are you doing, Nicole?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear that.
How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm very well. Yes. And there was so much news in the this week about libraries and stuff. So I'm going to have a lot of fun with this. And our guest today is Kellen Freeman, who is the Maker Annex, soon to be renamed. Manager takes care of all of our business with the Maker Annex. Good morning, Kellen.
Good morning.
And how are you doing?
I'm not too bad today.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. If you were bad today, you know, I would have let you off the having to do the show. So,
all right, go home.
It was a little cold outside. If I have to complain about something,
no, you don't have to complain about anything. It's all right. Did you see the news this week in the New York Times about the woman who? Returned the library book to the Queens Public Library, 63 years overdue.
I don't think I saw that one.
Yes. She's a professor, a retired professor. She had checked out a book when she was 10 years old from the Queens Public Library, Old Paul, which is a collection of folk stories about Paul Bunyan.
Mm-hmm.
And never quite got around to returning it.
Oh, man. Oh, dear.
You know, if it was a couple of weeks late, she was too embarrassed to return it. Mm-hmm. Then when it was a couple of months late, it was even more embarrassing.
Right.
So she just sort of tucked it away. And every time she moved, she took it with her. She always had it with her. And she'd look at it and say, I ought to do something about that. And so after 63 years, she did. She mailed it back to the Queens Public Library. She's now living in Madison, Wisconsin, with a check for $500. Which they would more than cover the overdue fines.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And a note explaining what had happened. So
how kind of her.
I just thought it was a great story. She ended up being a literature professor. I'm just glad she didn't end up at the library school at Wisconsin. That would have been way too embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. My husband actually just found a book. He's like, hey, I just found a book under the seat of my car. And I was like, I've been looking for that one. It's long overdue.
Well, at least we don't charge fines.
That's right. So. That's right.
So you're okay. But I just thought that was a really fun story. So what have you been reading that's long overdue?
Well, so I actually have something that ripens with age, or
cheese?
Maybe ferments with age.
Beer.
Wine.
Wine.
Yes.
Right.
So last weekend, I had the pleasure of attending a wine pairing with Girl Scout cookies at the Oak and Brazen. Oh, my goodness. It was so good.
What goes good with Samoas? That's my favorite.
You know, okay. So that's very interesting that you should ask. I ranked them. I put them in my favorite, and I'm ranking by the pair, not by the individual cookie or the individual wine.
Okay.
Samoas are my favorite cookie.
Me too.
And they actually paired it with a Moscato because Samoas have coconut in it, and Moscatos pair very nicely with coconut. It was the lowest on my list, though, as far as a pair goes, because the chocolate and caramel, I think, kind of threw it off a little bit. If it was like a true kind of like coconut, very pure flavor with the Moscato, I could have seen it.
Yeah, Moscato's just too sweet for me.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that one wasn't very good. My number one was the Lemon Up cookie with a Sauvignon Blanc. There is something about the crispness of the Sauvignon Blanc that when you pair it with the lemon cookie, the tartness of the lemon cookie, they balance each other out.
That sounds delightful.
One of the most phenomenal.
I was thinking maybe thin mints with a Meritage or a nice heavy red.
Yes. Well, they paired it with a Syrah.
Okay.
So that was very good. Yes. Yeah. So thin mint went with a Syrah. My number two pairing on the list, Oak and Brazen makes a delicious berry blend sangria that they bought. They paired that with the Do-Si-Do, which is like the little peanut butter sandwich.
Yes, yes.
It was like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich when you ate the two. It blew my mind. Like, if you could have seen the sparks and the everything, I was like, what? It was amazing. Yeah. It was such a fun night. So it got me thinking about wine and about cookies and about food books. And so I was looking up some good wine books.
All right.
So one good one that, you know, if you want to read a little bit about a wine while you're drinking some wine is The Lost Vintage by Ann Ma. And this is just a really beautiful story in a beautiful setting. There's a little bit of mystery and there's a little bit of a love story all wrapped into it. And it's told across two time periods, present day and World War II. And both stories take place in Burgundy, France, and feature fine wine and French cuisine. And here's another fun fact. and I got this trivia right at the wine tasting. I was so proud of myself. There are two ways to name wines. There is the American or Western way, and then there is like the European way. Do you know what those two ways to name wines are?
Well, I think the European way is with territory, terroir, the geographic.
The area, right. The region.
And I think the American is you come up with the funniest name you can to put on the wine, so they end up with really like weird names for wine.
Well, sure. Probably the name of the company. But actually, we name it in America's by the grape.
Oh, okay.
So the Cabernet, yeah. That is the Cabernet Sauvignon, right. That is the
as opposed
the grape.
To Burgundy or Beaujolais. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay. Right. So those are the two kind of naming conventions. Right. So this one that takes place in Burgundy, France, if you ever drink a Burgundy wine, it was made from the grapes of Burgundy, France.
Excellent.
Yes, and so, you know, you can do yourself a favor, have a bottle of red wine, a little charcuterie board ready, and read yourself a little bit of The Lost Vintage by Anne Ma.
That sounds very good.
Yes.
All right. Kellen, what have you been up to with reading or binging on or listening to or whatever?
So I've been getting back into graphic novel reading. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. And so I found a new series that's ongoing right now. It's called The Last Ronin. It's a Ninja Turtles story that takes place in the future where the last turtle remaining is going on a vengeance quest to avenge his fallen family.
Wow.
It's a very different turn for the typical Ninja Turtles, but yeah. It's written by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, the original creators, and it has that same original gritty art style to it that the comics from the 80s had before they went super fun Saturday morning cartoon in the 90s and everything. And it's a really interesting story so far. There's only two issues, but they're on Hoopla, and I'm waiting for the third one to come out.
Wow.
Say that title again?
And then I've been...
The Last
Ronin?
Last Ronin.
Ronin the Barbarian.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh.
So, okay. And so you started to say something else there, yes.
Yeah, and I've been rereading a couple old series that I really enjoyed. The first was The Wicked and the Divine. That's by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey. It's finished now, and so I just reread I'm on the final book out of the series, where every 90 years, 12 gods reincarnate into average people. And in 2 years, they'll be dead. And so, but they become like arbiters of culture. And in our time, they become insanely ultra pop stars. But in like past eras, they were philosophers or painters and stuff. And so, but there's a whole level of mystery and intrigue and drama and everything. They're loved and hated and, but after 2 years, they'll be dead. And so they all kind of have this clock above their head as they try and do the most they can with what they have, while also just trying to make it out kind of alive with the 2 years that they've got.
So what was the
title? Just because you're immortal.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Wicked and the Divine.
Okay. And you started to say, because you're immortal.
The tagline is, just because you're immortal doesn't mean you'll live forever. the little catchphrase tagline with it. And then the other one I've been reading is Saga. Well, I haven't been reading it. I've downloaded it on Hoopla, and that will be the one I get to next.
Mm-hmm.
Saga is written by Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples. It went on hiatus back in 2018, and they've announced that they're coming back, and they're starting to get back into production. So I wanted to reread the whole series again. But it's a space opera featuring two characters from opposite sides of the war between a planet and its moon who fall in love and cause problems for everybody because they have a kid, but everybody knows that they're incompatible species. You can't have a kid between the two, but they do.
Okay.
And so the government of both sides wants them because if news gets out that they had a kid, then that could end the war. And, you know, there's all these other entities and bounty hunters that are all trying to been hired and everything. And it just causes problems for everybody. But it's a great series. I will note that The Wicked and the Divine and Saga are both adult comics. They are not for kids.
Okay.
And I would argue The Last Ronin is a teen level comic for anybody interested.
Great.
But yeah, they're Saga and The Wicked and the Divine are have a lot of adult issues and such that not appropriate for children.
Fair warning.
You know, there was a Saturday Night Live sketch I think at this most recent season or maybe last season, that was a reimagination of what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were doing in their middle age. And it was the Middle-Aged Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it was phenomenal. And it went in a completely different direction than what you described in the last Ronin, Kellen. They're more like sitting on their couches overweight, eating pizza and like Bud Light.
Yeah, no, not even close to this.
Not
one.
Quite. No, different directions. Yeah.
That's great. All right. So this week I read a book that was recommended to me by a friend who is a retired librarian from up in the Cleveland area. The book is called The Keeper of Lost Things. It came out in the end of 2016, the beginning of 2017, and it was written by Ruth Hogan. This was her first novel, and at least according to her website and her blog and everything, it's the only book she's written so far. She said in there that she started writing seriously after she had an automobile accident that left her unable to work full time, but she'd always wanted to write, and this actually gave her the time to do it. So Keeper of Lost Things is actually two interwoven stories that come together in a really satisfying climax. The first story is set in the present, and it's about Anthony Perdue, who is a writer who spent the major part of his life as kind of a side gig collecting lost objects, things that he just sees on the street. He picks them up. He lovingly stores them, and he carefully documents where and how he found them. He passes away early in the book, and he leaves all of these items and the rest of his considerable estate to Laura, his faithful assistant, and he has only one provision in the will, that she try to find the owners of these lost items. And this can include anything from buttons to hair ribbons to mittens to umbrellas to a cookie tin filled with human cremains.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other story focuses on a gentleman named Charles Bramwell Broccoli, who is better known as Bomber to all of his friends, and his faithful assistant, Eunice. Bomber is a publisher, a bit of a free spirit, a movie fan. Eunice is they bond over movies. And so this story starts in 1974 when she's hired and goes through up to the present. So Bomber has a sister who is probably the most dislikable character I've met in a novel in a while.
Wow.
She's a terrible author. She does really, really kind of thinly veiled plagiarism. Mm. She has a series called Harriet Hotter about a woman magician. So this is just kind of a delightful adult fairy tale. It's filled with good humor. There's a little magic to it, some interesting insights into love and death, and the importance of the lovely pot of tea. There's a strong cast of supporting characters, including Freddie the Gardener, who helps Laura with her quest to reunite the people with their lost items by creating a website that allows people to look for things. Sunshine, who's a young woman who has a developmental disability, but that's offset by her warm heart and a certain level of kind of ESP or something. It's never real clear in there, but she's really good about these lost items.
Hmm.
And then there's two ladies who are sort of like the Statler and Waldorf Greek chorus of Laura's life after Anthony dies. So it's just fun. It's a really enjoyable read. It reads fast. And it just comes together really nicely at the end. So again, it's called The Keeper of Lost Things. It's by Ruth Hogan, and I hope you'll enjoy that. So we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk with Kellen about some new things that the Maker Annex is doing, and also about our new smile buttons. So stay tuned. Welcome back. It's going to be a great weekend. It'll be a fun time to be here. I want to just mention the Friends of the Library. We had a board meeting this week, and we're working on a lot of ideas for when we can come back with book sales and things like that. So we'll keep you posted on that. But I did want to thank the Friends of the Library for something that they funded. I think they funded it towards the end of last year. We just got it started towards the end of the year, and now we're opening it up to the public in general, and that's our smile buttons.
Yeah.
Smile buttons are for people, if you have to wear a mask, people still want to see your face. And it came out of our Joy Kelch, who works with our all our friends, which mm-hmm. is the adult daycare for people who are suffering from Alzheimer's and other dementia diseases. And it was a way to show the full face, even if you were wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you're interested in getting a smile button, if you just drop an email to smilebutton I'm sorry, smile buttons.
Buttons, multiple.
Right, at DelawareLibrary.org. We'll set you up. All we need is your picture, and then you can come to the library and pick up your smile button a little later.
Yeah, so, and they're totally free.
Totally free.
The friends have given them enough supplies to do, I think, 1,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and we and it's not, it's perfect for individuals, but it's also great if you maybe own a restaurant and you have someone in the service or the hospitality industry.
Right.
I was thinking about churches even. I recently started attending a new church this year, and many of the people I have never seen without a mask. So I have no idea what they look like underneath their mask. My coworkers, I have some idea.
I should hope so, yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, 10 years. But some of the church, so I mean, congregations, like, this is a really, really great thing.
So great. Yeah, so again, it's smilebuttons@DelawareLibrary.org, and feel free to send us a request. And thank you to the Friends of the Library for so many things, but specifically today for the smile buttons.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kellen, you're doing some really interesting things. In fact, we've got one idea that came from our fiscal officer, Angela Cox, who is our fiscal officer. She focuses on the money, and she's brilliant with the money. Believe me. I mean, we paid off the 25-year notes on Orange in 10 years. The woman knows her money.
Yes.
She usually doesn't get involved with library programming, though. And she sends me an email this week and says, why don't we use the laminator to do what, Kellen? Go ahead and tell the story.
So once you've completed your full round of COVID-19 vaccines, we will laminate your vaccination card for free.
I'm just thinking, I'm going to carry that sucker everywhere. So I want it laminated. I want people to know I've been vaccinated.
And I'm sure a lot of other people do too. And so we wanted to, provide this later today. We'll be getting in an order of laminating pouches that are pretty close to the size of the card. So we're not wasting a whole bunch of stuff using like a letter size that we normally stock. Those will be coming in today, and then you'll be able to come in and we'll hand you a pouch. You can stick your card inside and run it through the laminator. And in a minute or so, you'll walk out with your card all set and prepared to be a little bit more durable than just the plain cardstock is.
I plan to put a little hole in it and wear a chain on it and put it around my neck.
That's a good idea. I was going to say, Kellen might have pins or things to go along with the button. He could even like buttonize it, and then you can wear it like that.
Not quite on that, but maybe we can find out something.
I just think this is just a nice service that we were able to offer, and I thank Angela for the idea. But, you mentioned bring it into the library. That's one thing we haven't really talked about a lot here, and that is the Maker Annex, which, as I mentioned earlier, we are looking at a new name for, is now at the Delaware Library. And we moved over and just had a new wall installed, so we can kind of isolate some of the sound and noise that comes with that. But we don't want to get too deeply into this because we want to focus on just the Maker space at a later show. But just give us a little foretaste of some of the things that you're doing in the Maker Annex these days.
So we have, the continued equipment that we've had before, 3D printers, laser cutter, and vinyl cutter. We have the laminator, as was mentioned, and button maker. We are in the process of learning some new equipment that we'll be ready to discuss later that was really going to provide some interesting and fun ways for people to make some custom things for events or just for personal everyday life and for really nice gifts. We're looking forward to that. Hopefully maybe April or May. We have a lot of experimentation to go before it's ready to go.
You sort of have to learn to use
Tom
the equipment first. Yeah.
And we have a lot of different options with this, and each option needs tested and run through its paces before we know what we can do with it and what patrons will then be able to do with it.
And I would note too that we have two computers in the makerspace that have more kind of sophisticated creativity software than the general run of the mill computers that we have for the public. What are some of the software packages we have available there?
So if you don't have any of this kind of related software at home, you're welcome to come in and use our computers. We have the Adobe Creative Suite and the Affinity Suite. Those are both for graphics and web layout and page layout, a lot of, you know, those kind of graphic design software programs. We have Fusion 360, which is a professional level CAD software. This is what I tend to use when I'm doing my 3D design, because I tend to do more mechanical things. If you're more of a sculptor, we have Blender, which I am not equipped to teach you, but we do have it available if you would like to spend some time or work on that. It's just more complicated than I have any experience with. Tom was working on it before we shut down last year, so he may be more apt to help with it than I am. But then we have video editing software and a bunch of other things available on those as well.
That's great.
Yeah. I was going to say the Maker Annex is in the Delaware Main Library. It just reopened, you know, back to for the public to kind of walk in. And some people have discovered it organically, which we love. And some people will want to come at a specific time. But your hours are going to be a little bit different from our normal hours that our branches are open at this time. So what are the hours that people can stop by and see you at the main library?
That's right. We are here Monday through Friday, and we open when the library does, but we close at 5 Monday through Friday. And it's just for now kind of thing, as our department staffing isn't equipped to go in the later hours
right.
on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But, you know, as things change and schedules shift, we're hoping that we'll be able to expand those hours in the future.
And we still have it the availability that if somebody has a package, a program ready to run, they can still send it to you. You'll make it and they can pick it up anytime the library is open, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can go to the website and find the Maker Annex on the front page, and there's a submission link that you can send your project in, and we'll get it made for you, and you can pick it up anytime the library's open.
Well, that's great. So we will be back with Kellen in a couple of months when the new equipment is in and we're ready to rock and roll with it and do a real rollout of the Maker Space, which mm-hmm. I'm not going to reveal the new name that we're working on, but we want to just... thank United Way Strengthening Families and the Board of Education for the help that they had in getting us started over at Willis. We moved back when the schools closed last year because we wanted to make this stuff available, and we just couldn't synchronize well enough with the needs that they had at Willis. So we appreciate their help in getting started. Kellen has been the driving force behind this almost right from the beginning. So we appreciate your help, Kellen, and your direction with this. So thank you. We've got a couple of things coming up at the library this week we want to mention before we sign off here. So what do you got, Nicole?
Well, on Monday, the 22nd, it is another meeting of Around the Worlds in Books and Bytes. Of course, they're meeting virtually right now. And this meeting, they are discussing The Exiles by Christina Baker Klein. That meeting is at 1 o'clock. They do it right around lunchtime. And their books always pair with a nice... area of the world so that you can pair it with some lovely treats from that pair of the world. So this one actually is about, it's an emotionally resonant novel, captures hardship, oppression, and opportunity in the hope of four women's lives, three English convicts, and an orphaned Aboriginal girl in 19th century Australia. Ooh. So you'll be having some Australian food. But if you eat Vegemite, tell me if you like it, because I don't think you will.
The closest I've come to anything Australian, I'm not even sure now that I'm saying this, that this is Australian. I've had ostrich. I've never had kangaroo.
Mm-mm.
I don't think I could. I grew up with Skippy the Bush Kangaroo when I was a kid. It was a Canadian, Australian TV series that was shown in Canada that we used to watch in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So I don't think I could do that.
I don't think we should eat any animals from Australia. They lost a lot last year.
Yeah. The thing about Australia is all the animals there want to kill you.
They do. I know, right? So, yeah. It's not a safe. It's not a safe habitat.
It's really sort of like kill or be killed there. I mean. And we also have. Don't forget that we talked last week with George Morrison about the ice hockey stories that are coming up with Mary Shaw. That's going to be on Thursday at 6:30. It'll be on the YouTube channel, the library's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And that'll be a lot of fun. And again, these are books that are available here and not really available anywhere else because they've only been published in Canada. And Mary has helped us get copies of it for the library. Mm-hmm. So that should be a lot of fun. That's coming up again, Thursday at 6:30. And next Friday, we have another of our The Forgotten Realms group with Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the main library. So Danielle, who runs that, will, I'm sure, have some a lot of fun for our group there, and you're always welcome to join if you haven't before. I believe that requires registration, doesn't it?
Yes. Most of our programs, if you go to DelawareLibrary.org, you click on our events little block there, and then you pop over and you scroll through. You'll see a register to attend online link where you can register, and you'll get the Zoom thing sent right to you right away. Danielle's, you register, and she'll get in touch with you for how to get onto Roll 20, which is what they use to play that Adventurers League.
Okay, that's great. And we've got book clubs from Amber at Powell and Harla from Ostrander coming up this week as well. And just sneak in a happy birthday, Amber.
Yes.
Saw that on Facebook this morning. So, and a new virtual story time with Miss Julie from Powell also coming up this Wednesday. It'll drop at 10 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we got plenty of stuff going on. We are, as you know, the buildings are open again. We're delighted to see you coming in, and we look forward to having you visit the library really soon. So thank you, Kellen. We appreciate you being here today, and we look forward to talking to you again in a couple of months about the new and expanded services in the Maker area. So, and Nicole, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Gage, is always great working with you. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Friends of the library, and we will see you in the stacks.